Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. I truly desire for God to speak a word from Him, and humbled that He would allow me to step in front of you. And as I say, you know, whenever you speak up here, the first person the Lord is speaking to is you. So with that said, I love sports. Well, I love sports, but I also realize there's certain sports I'm terrible at. And I've convinced my kids that I just choose not to do it, but I know deep down I'm terrible at it. Usually running sports are those where I've just always, for some reason, caught a cramp that day. Something has come up. But I always love when you see runners and you hear, ready, get set, go. And they always, it's those three stages. And many of us have been ready for some time. As it pertains to being a Christian, we made our choice a long time ago that we were going to follow the Lord. So we're ready. Check that off. Then many of us, most of us, if not all of us, we're in that get set. We're set. You know, in a position to do whatever He says do. Where our mind is made up. I hear you, Lord. I'm set. You know, whether it's young people's work, Sunday school, camp work, I'm set. I'm here. All right. And then it's that other part, because when you look at the races on TV, it's ready, get set. You hear those very clearly. You can almost count them when they're coming. It's the go part that everybody's anticipating and waiting for, because you never know when that shot is going to be fired. And so for us as Christians, we hear the go, but we stand still. Because if we're honest, some of us have not moved from point A to point B, much less looking at A to Z. We're ready. We know the Lord. We're set. We know what He's called us to do. And then it's go. It's like something's stopping us. And before we get into that, let me be honest. And I always do this because I assume nothing. I said that many of us are ready. Let me be very clear. If you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're not ready. You're not ready. See, I don't want to make the assumption that just because you came in this morning that you know Jesus Christ, because some people have been playing a game for a very long time and they're very good at it. But if you have never accepted Jesus Christ, the man who came from glory in flesh to die for the sins that separated you from a thrice holy God, if you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart, you are not ready. But what you are telling me that you're ready for is to spend an eternity lost and separated from a God who loves you, and you are ready to spend an eternity in a hell and damnation and torment. But if that's not what you want, if that's not what you're about, might I encourage you to try Jesus and accept Him as your Lord and Savior. Then you will be ready when He comes back to take us to be with Himself forever. And if you still have questions about that, no matter who you are, don't be embarrassed, because oh, well, they'll know I really wasn't. It's not going to matter when the day comes. What is going to matter is if you're able to stand before the Lord honestly and say, I trusted you, that He knows you by name. So for those of us who are ready, though, those of us who are set and we heard go, but we stop, no matter what age you are, the verse that I want us to start off with is Galatians 5, verse 7. And we're going to turn to a number of verses and we're going to read them, and we'll read Galatians 5:7. It says, you did run well, or you ran well. Who hindered you? Who hindered you that you should not obey the truth? You ran well, but who hinders you from obeying the truth? There's a lot of truth in the Word of God. So I'm not going to focus on everything today, because, amen, we're just not going to do that. But some truths, I think, that we need to understand that they're being presented in a way that maybe we don't see thou shalt, this shall. There are some truths that are actually very practical that we need to really obey so that we can go. The first one we want to turn to, Isaiah 43:18-19. I know this is ministry, but there's Sunday school hours, so I'm going to treat, like you said, you know, we love Sunday school. So Isaiah 43. Verse 18 and 19. Roman, if you wouldn't mind reading that, I'd be ever so grateful. Isaiah 43:18-19.
Then I remember the former things, nor consider the things. Behold, I will do new things. It shall sport, shall know it. I will even make a road in wilderness.
Amen. The go part of that verse is I will do a new thing. now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. That's the go part of that. That verse is like, listen, I'm going to do a new thing. Let's get moving. I want to do a new thing in you. Something that I need to do through you for my honor and glory. This is the Lord speaking to us. And it's going to spring forth. It's not just going to trickle. It's not just going to come slowly. It's going to burst forth. What I'm doing is, you ever realize when God does things, it's not just, hi, there you go. Here's a little bit. When God does things, they're big. They're awesome. This is the God of the universe. This is not the God of our understanding, because our understanding is limited. We sometimes put God only to our capability of understanding what that means. But the God of the universe is big and awesome. So when he says he's going to do a new thing, it's a big thing. And it's going to spring forth. It's going to burst forth. I will even make a road in the wilderness. Okay, raise your hand if you've seen a wilderness. You've watched the National Geographic. You've ever seen it on TV. All right, we're good with that? How many of us have ever been in what many would consider a wilderness? All right, for some of us, we have. Roads aren't really naturally occurring in wilderness. But he says, I'm going to make a road, a clear path to where you should go and how you should walk. That's your go. When you go, you're going to be able to clearly know which direction you're going. And a river in the desert, that even when it feels dry and barren, you're going to be refreshed. Even when it feels there's nothing of substance, you're not going to be thirsting for anything. So that's the go part. But here's the problem. We don't get to that go part. Why? Because some of us, and I'll be honest, I'm about being honest in our Christianity. Not all of us have lived and carried on the perfect, obedient Christian life. Amen. Some of us didn't get it right all the time. And the problem is, we keep on focusing and remembering the old things. We remember, man, I wanted to serve you, but the last time I did, didn't go so well. Or they didn't really receive me. Or they didn't really like what I had to say. Or that person just gave up. And not only do we remember it, we start thinking, man, do you realize how bad was that? Do you realize how terrible that was? Literally, the Word of God is saying, I need you to stop dwelling in all of that. I want to do a new thing, but I can't do a new thing in you because you are stuck focusing on the yesterday. You are stuck focusing on all the things that are past. And I want to do a new thing in you, so I need you to not remember the old things. I don't even need you to dwell or think about it. Because if you're thinking back there, you can't look at where I'm leading you. So let me challenge us that the one truth we need to be focused on and that will stop us from being hindered is that the past is the past and that God wants to do a new thing in us. For St. Albans, for quite some time, it was getting light. It was getting real light. Like nobody was there. Our numbers were decreasing. And it's amazing. The Lord had us start praying in a different way and stop. We literally stopped focusing on the lack of numbers and focused on just being happy as Christians. Brothers started bike riding together. We just started doing things that were just about enjoying the fact that we had one another. Now if you come to St. Albans, I mean, the Lord has blessed us. A family came from Guyana, and these young people seem to be inviting somebody every week. But the thing is, we had to forget about the fact that we didn't have. And start thinking about what we did have in the Lord. And he's doing a new thing. Praise God. Another truth that we want to look at, Evan, I don't think I forgot you. 2 Corinthians 4:16.
For which men perish, yet live.
Amen. See, once we get our focus right and we forget about the old things, let's be honest. Once we start seeing the new thing, the beating is going to come. Life's beating is probably going to get a little bit more intense. Why? Because once you start truly living for the Lord and moving for the Lord, now you're a threat. Now you're a problem for the enemy. When you were stuck remembering all the things that you had to deal with before, you were good. No concern about you. Now that you're standing for the Lord and moving, the enemy's like, no, I got to deal with him. I got to deal with her. Because they are making too much noise about the things of God. And I know my battle is lost, but they're not getting anybody else. They're not going to stir up anybody else to understand how good God is. So we get beaten outwardly. Well, nobody comes up and punches us. Okay, fine. Job gets a little harder. People seem a little bit more disgruntled at you at work. Neighbors you have problems with you never had before. Relationships in your house become tense and never were. Everything that can beat up your outward person, where, and we say outward, is the things that people can see, the wear and tear on your face, the hanging down, the depression, all of that stuff is real. And life can beat you up in so many ways that you just feel, I can't go on anymore. I wanted to go on with you, Lord, but I'm tired. My family's not right. My job isn't right. My money's not right. Everything is beating me down. But the thing is, if we hold on to him, he says, I know it's beating you down, but just keep on trusting me. Why? Because I'm going to renew you from the inside. I'm going to keep on letting you know that, yea, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you don't have to fear no evil. I'm with you. That I will never leave or forsake you. That even though you feel that you're all alone, the word says that I'm not going to be left nor forsaken. That even when I feel that my family's upside down, that I know that your word says that I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor what? Nor their seed begging bread. That we serve a faithful God. And when we start holding on to those things, the inward person gets renewed. It doesn't mean the outward person still isn't going through. But the inward person is getting stronger. And why is that important? Because whatever's on the inside eventually is going to come up and shine through on the outside. Whatever you are focusing on when it comes to the Word of God on the inside, no matter what you're going through, hang on. Hold on. Because the inside is going to mature and it's going to come through on the outside. And when that happens, people will be like, why are they happy? Why are they smiling? I know there's a lot of problems with their kids. I know they got elder care issues they got to worry about. I know they got people, family at home that are going, why are they happy? Because the inward man is renewed and now coming forth. And I got to tell you, those are the times that I love to say, man, the enemy must be just so upset right now. Because all the plans he had, because of the God we serve, are failing. Isaiah 41:10, let's turn to it. Isaiah 41:10. Amen. See, that inward man is renewed when we start telling the enemy, stop lying. I heard a singer say that they were dealing with depression. A gospel singer, great gospel singer. She's amazing. Loves some of her music. She said her biggest battle was with depression. But she said one night, the Lord said, it's not about depression. It's because for some reason the enemy has convinced you that you are alone. Because when you feel rejected, that's when you can become depressed. See, I need you to understand you're adopted. The world may have rejected you, but I adopted you. And something we need to tell ourselves if we're going to continue to go, to move forward, is that we are not alone. Doesn't mean sometimes it doesn't feel lonely, but we are never alone. Because fear not, I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. And just because I'm with you, guess what else I'm going to do? I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to uphold you. So God, you tell me in my weakness, you're going to give me strength to stand. You're going to help me deal with whatever I got to deal with. And you're going to hold me so that I can be an example and a testimony of who you are. So I might feel lonely. Life happens. If you're young and you don't realize life happens, let me say now that I've got a few of these, just a few gray. I paint the rest on at night. Trust me, this is all black during the evening. But I've learned that sometimes it can be lonely. But I know that I'm never alone. Here's the thing. I love this idea that we as Christians, we are not waiting for anybody to come and save us. We are not waiting for anybody to come and save us. Why? It says, I am with you. He's already here. We need to stop. We need to realize that we don't need to wait for this brother, that sister, whatever. That's great if they can encourage us. That's great. As it should be. But I don't have to say that I'm waiting for someone to come, because he says, I am with you. He's never left us, never forsaken us. That's the God who we serve. So when we get to the point where we understand that he is with us, that the outward man may be perished, but the inward is renewed, that we don't have to fear, that if we actually stop focusing on the old things, we would actually be able to do the new thing in the Lord that he's calling for us and putting us before. What should, I believe, and my brother who's a pastor in Rhode Island, he and I always talk, he says, listen, James, you need to have things that you, in your mind and in your heart, that you're willing to declare. Because sometimes you just got to shout it out and declare it. Why? Because this is what I'm going to say. Isaiah 12, verse 2, and I'll read it for time's sake. Could turn to Isaiah 12, verse 2. Maybe this could be one of your declarations as you go. Michaela, maybe this is something that you can declare even as you go every week. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For Yah, the Lord, is my strength. I like this one. And song. He also has become my salvation. It's not God might be. God could be. God is. Not I'm going to try and believe him. Not, well, if it all works out, I'll consider. I will trust. And, all right, I'm going to try and be bold. No, I won't be afraid. We need to start taking the word of God and declaring it in our lives and declaring it against our situations or circumstances. Because as long as we're here, we're going to have them. Newsflash. As long as we're here on earth, as some of the kids will say, life be life. You know, and, you know, stuff happens. It's going to keep on happening. But I'm going to declare against circumstance and situation that God is my salvation. I'm going to trust and not be afraid. Why? Because Psalms 27:13. It's funny. You know, sometimes I say, Lord, if you have something for me to share, what should I speak on? I'm watching some YouTube thing last night. This person says this verse. I'm like, okay, message received. Got you. Because I was wondering, there's got to be, Lord, I just need. Psalms 27:13. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I believe God is still the kind of God who shows up right on time, right now. I know that there's a lot waiting for us in glory. Praise the Lord. That's awesome. But I'm not going to limit God to only showing his majesty and his awesomeness in glory. Because he's still in control. He's still in control. So I believe I can see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And that is encouraging. That I, every day, Lord, I can say, Lord, show me your goodness. Because I know you're in control. Show me your awesomeness. Because that just encourages me to keep going. The psalmist says, because I would have lost heart. If only thing I was waiting for is eventually to see God do great things in glory. I don't know about you. You may have be stronger in your faith than me. But if that's all I was waiting for, I might get a little pensive down here. That's just me. May not be your story. But knowing that he's a God who shows up right here and right now in my life, that he is capable of doing that, that gives me energy. Because that's the awesome God who loves me, takes care of me, and is willing to use me. Praise the Lord. And is willing to solve the issues of life that I face. That's the awesome God we serve. And I can declare it to anyone who will listen. And if you're not listening, you're going to overhear me declaring it to somebody else. Because that's the God we have. That's the God we serve. The last thing is that in all this, I would encourage us to constantly recheck our priorities. Well, how do I do that? How do I recheck that I'm not looking at the former things, that I'm looking for the new thing? How do I recheck that I'm not afraid, that I don't fear? How do I recheck that I can see the goodness of the Lord? Well, I probably, for those of us who married, sometimes you just need to get away and make sure y'all still on the same page. Amen? For those of y'all who ain't married, trust me, there comes time. You need to get away to make sure you're on the same page. Because there are a lot of times when the pages look different. This morning or that morning. We're not always here. And I realize sometimes we need to get back in line with where the things of God are. So something says to me, well, then I got to spend time with him. So the verse that always reminds me of that, and it's where we're close. And I love this verse because all of my kids, they all had to learn this verse. Psalms 27. They all had to learn Psalms 27, beginning at verse 1. They said, all the kids would get up there. The Lord is my light. You can imagine all these little kids 6 years old, just all saying, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. And this is how you recheck right here. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Saints, some of us need sometimes to get back and dwell with the Lord, inquire in the beauty of his temple, and truly find out who he is. Dig deep. Does that mean you have to have a 4-hour Bible study? No. But as we challenged everybody on, we call Old Year's Night, New Year's Eve, we said, especially some of our young people, it's time to graduate from being verse of the day Christians. Amen. There's nothing wrong with a verse of the day. I have my YouVersion. I'm on like 100 plus days straight, whatever. But there's some time where we got to move on from verse of the day Christians. We got to get into that verse. We got to get into that chapter. We got to get to know who the Lord is. Because when I get to know who he is and understand who he is, then when the ready is here, I'm ready. Set, I'm set. Now when he says go, because I know him for myself, because I'm not looking back, and I know who he is, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to be used. I'm ready to serve him. May the Lord bless his word for his name's sake.